This morning, we're going to be looking in John's Gospel, and we're going to be looking at what's known as the great I Am statements. And this morning, we're going to be taking a look at I Am the Bread of Life. But before we get there, I do love your eagerness and keenness in this church to get your Bibles out. It's fantastic, it really is. And I'm going to ask Harry to come up first, and Harry is going to read from us from Exodus. So get your Bible. Turn to Exodus all the way back to chapter 34. And we're going to read of accounts of God providing bread for his people in the desert, the people of Israel. And Harry is going to come and he's going to read it for us now.
And it's found on page 73 if you're using the Red Church Bibles. So that's Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. And this is the word of the living God. It says in verse 1, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they have come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?' Moses also said, 'You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you the meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses told Aaron, 'Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.' While Aaron was still speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening quail came down, covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, 'No one is to keep any of it until morning.' However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until the morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning.' So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. 'Eat it today,' Moses said, 'because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any.' Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law, that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Ending there in verse 36.
Thanks, Harry, for reading Exodus 16 to us there. We'll grab your Bibles again, and this time turn with me to John chapter 6. Definitely John 6. So we've just read the Exodus 16 of God providing bread. And now we're going to John chapter 6. And here we're going to see some more bread being provided. This is God's word, John chapter 6. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would be enough for each one of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. And the men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. A high wind arose and the sea began to churn. And after they rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat and they were afraid, but he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him on board, and at once the boat was at the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, this is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching the synagogue in Capernaum. Amen. This is God's word. These are the words of Jesus himself. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself and your son, Jesus Christ, through it to us. And so, Lord, our Father, we ask that you reveal your son to us all the more this morning. Regardless of what background we have come from, may we see Jesus for who he really is, and may we honor and worship him as he deserves. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Finish this sentence for me. Don't shout out, just in your mind. Finish the sentence. Jesus is... dot, dot, dot. Jesus is... dot, dot, dot. How would you finish that sentence? Did a bit of research this week. It turns out that Wikipedia, that source of accurate information, says that Jesus is a first century Jewish preacher and religious leader. Okay? I looked at a survey done by Barna that said that most people would answer Jesus is a prophet or a spiritual leader, but definitely not the Son of God. And then I went to that even more trusted source called YouTube, watched many videos. Fascinating, by the way, watching videos on YouTube of people on the street being asked the question, who is Jesus? And the prevailing, the most common answer was, Jesus is a good bloke. He is a good moral teacher who has inspired people down the generations. That was the most common answer I found in my research. That Jesus is a good bloke who has inspired people down the generations. I wonder what your answer is when you say Jesus is. How would you finish that sentence? You see, I think this is an important thing to consider. Because before you can respond to someone in the right way, you first of all need to know who they are. For example, if you're honored enough to be invited to the garden party at the palace this week, as I know some people in this room were, you've got to know that that is the Queen, as in the head of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, who's reigned for how many years? I've lost count now. And you respond to her in a certain way because you know that's the Queen. Isn't it? Or if you're like Abby and I, and you're driving along Queen Street, and you see Martin Compton from Line of Duty getting into his car, you respond in a certain way because that's Line of Duty. Who's Hastings, if you know Line of Duty? Never mind. Or perhaps you're a security person guarding the Chris Hoy Velodrome. Did you hear this? This happened way back at the Commonwealth Games 2014. I love this. This person on security, asking everyone for their passes. This person comes up to her, doesn't have a pass. So what does he do? I'm very sorry, sir, but you cannot get into the Chris Hoy Velodrome. You've got no passes. Who was it she refused to the Chris Hoy Velodrome? Sir Chris Hoy. She didn't recognize who he was. She didn't know this is a guy who this velodrome's named after. And she denied him entry. Perhaps trivial examples. But it's important to know who a person is to know how we can respond to them in the right way. And so this morning we are looking at John 6. And indeed in our series we're going to do, we're going to look at John and who does Jesus see him says. Jesus has his wonderful I am statements in John. We're looking at the bread of life this morning. There's almost like I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. We're going to be looking at them in turn over the course of the next year or so. Looking at who does Jesus say he is? How does Jesus describe himself in his own words? And in case you missed it, here in John 6, we see Jesus say, I am the bread of life. So let's explore this a bit further. Let's open this up. What does he mean when he says, I am the bread of life? Well, come back with me to John 6, verse 22. And here we have the crowd who had just been fed bread in the feeding of the 5,000, searching for Jesus. They're going out looking where Jesus has gone to the next day because they realize he's not there. His boat's gone, the disciples have gone, Jesus isn't there. And they go searching for him. Maybe that's you here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you are searching for Jesus. Well, can I encourage you to keep listening? Because I believe as we study this passage together, you're going to see who Jesus really is. Well, here we have the group of people searching for Jesus. And eventually they find him on the other side of the lake. And they ask him the question, Rabbi, when did you get here? Or where have you been, as we say in Scotland? And how does Jesus answer them? He says, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In that statement, Jesus is exposing the real motives behind their searching. You see, on the face of it, we might look at this and go, great, there's a crowd wanting to search for Jesus. Let's start a CE course. Let's get them signed up. But here, Jesus is saying, no, no, no. These people aren't looking for me because they want to attend a CE course. They're looking for me because they want another free lunch. See, maybe you're here this morning, you answer that Jesus is. With Jesus is the one who gives me what I want. Jesus is the one that I go to when I am lacking. See, I wonder how different we really are to the first century crowd there, who saw Jesus as somebody who could give them bread, physical bread, to feed their hunger. Do we see Jesus as some kind of genie in a bottle? We rub the lamp, comes out and he grants us three wishes. Oh Lord, just give me a bit more money. Oh Lord, just give me some food to eat. Oh Lord, would you give me that nice house? Oh Lord, would you give me that nice car? Oh Lord, just make me a bit more comfortable. Is Jesus a genie in a bottle for us? That is what we call the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is an absolute heresy that says if you come to Jesus, you'll have your best life now. If you come to Jesus, you'll be blessed with all material possessions. And sadly, it's not exclusive to America where it started. But it's all over our TV screens on things like the God Channel. It's in our books in Waterstones. And very tragically, it's preached from pulpits up and down this country. Come and have your best life now. Well, is that who Jesus says he is? Some kind of genie in a bottle? Is he the one who we could come to whenever we're lacking in some material possession? Well, how does Jesus respond? Look at verse 27. How does Jesus respond to this motivation? He says, don't work for food that spoils and other material possessions that will fade away. But look for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You see, what Jesus is saying here is stop thinking with your stomach and start looking with your eyes. Don't look to the baskets filled with bread, but look to the one who filled the baskets. Look to the Son of Man who can give you bread, what does it say, that endures to eternal life. You see, you've came looking for lunch, but I'm going to give you, can give you eternal life. You've come here wanting to be filled physically. I can fill you spiritually to eternal life. It said, rather than look for food, look to the Son of Man, on whom God the Father has sealed his approval. Now, having heard that, what would your next question be? You've just heard Jesus say that to you. What's your next question? I'd expect my next question might be, well, tell us who the Son of Man is, so I can go to him to get my bread. Or even, the more astute might think, well, why didn't you give me this bread? Because I believe you're the Son of Man. How does the crowd respond? Verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? You see, what they're not asking here is for Jesus just to give them the bread, but they're asking for them to do something to earn this bread. They have completely fallen into the trap of what we call legalism. The idea that we could earn our favor with God. The idea that we can work for our salvation. It's funny, the biggest obstacle I have found to people coming to faith in Christ is grace. Because this idea of grace, of receiving something you do not deserve, goes totally against our own human nature. The idea that there is nothing that we can do to earn the favor of God goes against our pride. It goes against the idea that we need to work for something, achieve something, earn something. And the idea that God would give us his grace freely, or give us eternal life without us having to earn it, goes completely against our pride. Time and time again, I've seen people hear the good news of Jesus Christ, hear that he is a source of eternal life, but fall down this idea of grace. It is the biggest hurdle to them coming to experience this eternal life. So it is with this crowd here. They're wanting to earn this. They're wanting to do works that God requires. But how does Jesus answer? The work of God is this. It is simply to believe in the one he has sent. But again, they're still not getting it, are they? Look at verse 30. All right, Jesus, he wants to believe in you. Give us a sign. Give us a sign so we can believe in you. How often have we heard that today, in today's culture? I would believe in Jesus if he gave me a sign. Again, hear that time and time again. Why doesn't Jesus show himself? Why doesn't Jesus do a great miracle? Then I'll believe. But yet they completely negate the myriad of miracles and signs we have in this book here, called the Bible. Well, these people want a sign. They said Moses gave a man a better life. And Jesus is going, come on, you're still not getting this. It's not about food. And as we look through John 6, see Jesus compares manna to what is it he has to offer. See, Jesus says, it wasn't Moses gave you the manna, but it was God the Father. And let me tell you, God the Father is going to give you something greater than manna. He is going to give you the bread of life. This is a bread that will never spoil, as you've already seen. And this is a bread that after you eat of it, you will not die. Flip with me to verse 50. Do you see that in verse 50? So I go to verse 49 rather. Your ancestors ate the man in the wilderness. Yeah, they died. But here is bread coming down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Verse 58. Again, your ancestors ate manna and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So what Jesus is showing here is that I'm offering something much greater than the manna that sustained your forefathers for 40 years in the desert. I'm giving you some bread of life that will endure to eternity. And that when you eat of this bread, you will not die. And finally, you think the crowd are starting to get it, because how do they respond in verse 34? Sir, give us this bread. And then Jesus hits them with the puncher, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As I've been studying this week, I've just been in awe of just what it is Jesus is claiming here when he says these simple words, I am the bread of life. First of all, he's claiming that he is the one who has been sent by the Father, who has came down from heaven. He's claiming to be the one who has came down from heaven, who, as we saw in verse 33, to give life to the world. And then, as I was studying, reading the commentaries, I realized something even more amazing. Jesus is saying here, I am the bread of life, okay? Now, quick Greek lesson for you. There are two verbs you can use to say I am. First one's ego, where we get ego from, or ego. So ego, I am. The second verb is eimi, I am. Jesus could say, ego, the bread of life, I am the bread of life. Jesus could say, eimi, the bread of life, I am the bread of life. But what does Jesus say? Ego, eimi, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am, I am. Now, where else in the Bible have we seen that phrase, I am, I am? Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Where God himself says to Moses, this is my name, I am, I am. You see, what Jesus is claiming here is deity. He's not saying, I am just one who's came down from heaven. He is saying, I am God who has come down from heaven to give life to this world. In six simple words, I am the bread of life. I am God who has came down from heaven to give eternal life to this world. And how is he going to do it? Well, verse 51, by giving this bread that is my flesh, giving it for the world so that it may have life. In other words, Jesus is pointing towards his sacrifice upon the cross. That he is going to give physically his body to die on a cross so that the world may have eternal life. Remember who this is. This is the great I am. This is God who's come down from heaven to give his life so that we may have life. It's incredible, isn't it? that for those of us who feel that emptiness inside of ourselves, who have been searching for answers to that whole time and time again, here is Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And I'm going to give you life by giving up my life for you, by dying on the cross. Is that the Jesus you see? God who's came down from heaven to give up his life for your life, so that you may never be hungry. You may never thirst, talking in a spiritual sense here in terms of eternal life here, so that you can live. Is that the Jesus you see? The Jews didn't see at the time. They're like, who is this man? I can't his mum and dad. Seeing he's come down from heaven, who does he think he is? They didn't see it. But do you see it? Jesus is making some very big claims here, as you can tell. And maybe you've came here this morning thinking that Jesus, along with my YouTube friends, that Jesus is some kind of good moral teacher. That is not where you can leave it. Jesus is claiming to be the bread of life. Jesus is claiming to be God. If he's not God, do you think that's some good moral teacher? That's an absolute lunatic. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. Says this, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. I am, I am. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but you let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am God who's come down to give my life for the life of this world. Unless you believe that Jesus truly is God, you cannot come to the conclusion he's a good moral teacher. You must come to the conclusion he's a raving lunatic. On par with the guy who says he's a poached egg. But do you see Jesus for who he is? The great I am who's come down. Or are you looking for more signs? Well, John's Gospel, as I mentioned earlier, says this. This is from John chapter 20. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing you may have life in his name. If you're looking for signs, look no further than John's Gospel, because in here are signs explicitly recorded so that you can see who Jesus really is. So that Jesus can reveal himself to you through the signs that he did 2,000 years ago. So you may believe and you may have life in his name. And that's what Jesus means when he talks about eating. End of that passage, he's talking about eating his flesh. You might think, is he being a cannibal here? So he comes physically to eat Jesus. Some people actually do still believe that in different realms of Christianity. That's not what Jesus is saying here. How many times have you seen the word believe, 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 believe come up time and time again? That's what Jesus means when he says eat and believe. Quickly show it to you. Look at verse 54. Who has eternal life in verse 54? The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Flip back to verse 47. Who has eternal life in verse 47? The one who believes. That's what Jesus means when he says, eat my flesh. He says, believe in me. Come to me. Believe I am the bread of life. And here's the good stuff. And you will have life. And I will raise you up at the last day. Do you see Jesus? Do you see his claim of being the bread of life? And do you believe that? I pray that you do. Because look at other repeated phrases come time and time again. Jesus says, for those who believe, for those who come to me, I will raise them up on the last day. But this is God saying this, who has not once reneged on a promise. This is a creator who is sovereign over the entire universe. So now, this is what I will to happen. It is going to happen. You see, this week, as I've been studying this passage, I'm like, well, it's very clear what the application is to those who perhaps haven't yet come to Jesus. But what's the application to those of us who have come to Jesus? What's the application to those of us who have seen Jesus as the bread of life, who has believed in his name and does have eternal life? Well, it's simply this. You have eternal life. And nothing is ever going to take that from you, brothers and sisters. Look at me, look, this has been amazing just to study it this week. Where he says, look at me, verse 39. Talking about the Father's will. It's well that him, the Father, sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me. The Father gives you to Jesus. If you believe in his name, you're never going to be lost. But raise him up on the last day. Verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son, believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 44. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws unto me, and I will raise him up on the last day. And finally, in verse 54. If you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you've got eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Brothers and sisters, never, ever, 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 ever doubt your salvation. Oh, there's going to be many times you're going to want to doubt your salvation. But hear the words of Jesus. I will raise you up on the last day. Very recently, a family member of ours passed away. We believe he came to know Jesus as the bread of life in his dying days. And here's what Jesus is saying to me right now. I will raise him up on the last day. Not because he was a good person, though he was. Not because of anything in his life. Not because of the wonderful family he's got around him, but simply because he believed that I was a bread of life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Oh, if you have not yet come to Jesus, I beg of you, see Jesus for who he is. He's a bread of life who offers you eternal life. I pray you believe that. And he will raise you up on the last day. Brothers and sisters, we get to look forward to eternal life because he will raise us up on the last day.